Well, hi there and good morning. What a beautiful morning it is. I actually heard birds this morning, and I think I even heard some of the froggies.
And there was light.
Yes. And light. Yeah. Oh, boy.
The birds, I believe.
Yeah. The frogs,
the
though.
It's awfully cold out there to be a cold-blooded vertebrate.
I know. I couldn't believe
it's 40 degrees.
I was like, what is – no, they're already up.
That's you must be hearing their death throes as a frog.
Yeah. Well, you know, yesterday was Groundhog's Day, and about one-fifth of the time, the groundhogs will predict an early spring, and this was that year, all of them, across the country.
Not quite half as good as flipping a coin.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Apparently, they do get it right about 40% of the time.
So,
like any other prognosticator or weatherman, they're about the same. But they're funner because you get to celebrate Groundhog's Day once a year. Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil. Yeah. Oh, besides, it was a great movie.
It was a great movie. And they had a Lay's potato chip commercial with the same guy that is in the movie, not Bill Murray, but the guy that steps in the puddle and is kind of goofy. He did a Lay's commercial based on – that only aired yesterday. You can YouTube it. It's worth it. With the Lay's potato – he's checking out and he keeps coming back with a new flavor of Lay's potato chip. And it's quite clever and it was cute. But some beautiful warmer weather, at least mild. I should say mild weather this week, and then back to maybe some cold. We'll see.
Yeah, I hear we have some cold by the end of the week, but
as long as there's light.
Yes, yes. Get outside. Enjoy it. Take a walk. Take your book outside. Walk the dog maybe a few extra times. Just enjoy what we have out there. It's pretty awesome. So.
Right.
And Dr. Umat, welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. It's so nice to be back. I know I was missed. I check in on with Dr. Mixon every time I come back and go, I hope you missed me. He goes, yes.
Yes.
It's my standard. How much did you miss me?
Yes.
Well, I wept for an hour or two.
Yes, he did.
It's my standard. I provide the entertainment around
here. Yes, he does. Okay,
well, you've got the bangles, you know.
I do.
We're going to get to a health update in just a minute, how we usually start our show. But we have a gal that has a question right off the bat. So I think we should reward her with letting her get in on the show. And here is our number so you can do the same. The phone number is 206-421-5757. Okay. That's 206-421-5757 with your questions for the doctors like Beth in Redmond. Thank you for calling, Beth. Welcome and good morning.
Hello, Beth.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question. I've been listening about all of the supplements, and I have quite a list of supplements that I take along with a couple of prescriptions, but I just wonder the timing of taking the supplements, and can things just go be put together, and what's the best way to figure that out?
Okay. Well, it depends on what the supplement is, of course. Dietary supplements are just that. Most of them are, in fact, extracted from food. Yeah. So you're primary vitamins, the vitamin, you know, vitamin C and vitamin E and vitamin D and so on, these are normally found in foods, and so they're mixed with all kinds of food groups. Doesn't matter when you take them. It doesn't matter what you take them with. Not a problem. Some supplements are physiologically active compounds in their own right, things like pregnenolone and dehydroepiandrosterone. DHEA and pregnenolone have opposite effects on most people. Pregnenolone tends to be a little bit sedating. It lets you sleep better. It relaxes you. And so I usually recommend people take their pregnenolone at night. DHEA tends to be an elevated compound. It tends to wake you up and make you more alert. It's more of an anabolic, testosterone-like compound. And so it's usually taken in the morning when you're going to be physically active. You know, things like, taurine.
Can I give you?
You know, is again, a daytime, because it tends to be elevating and increase strength and energy.
Yeah, and then vitamin Bs, for example. And then for that reason, we don't sell DHE and pregnenolone to non-longevity patients.
Right, because we monitor what's going
right.
on.
Right, and then sometimes vitamins can have a paradoxical effect. So in some people, pregnenolone can actually wake them up and mm-hmm. disturb their night. So we have to monitor carefully, and there are a lot of other things that we take into consideration about timing of medications. And sometimes it doesn't really matter. It's just a matter of compliance.
Yeah.
Whenever it's best for you, you will take it. So take it. Please take it.
Were there some supplements you had a question about specifically, Beth?
Well, I have like NMN, resveratrol, okay. lion's mane. I take thyroid medicines. I've had a history of blood clots. I'm not on anything for those, but my naturopath talks about nacotinase and lambrokinase, things like that.
Natokinase, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's run through a few of those anyway. Resveratrol shouldn't matter when you take it. It is a very potent anti-inflammatory, and it actually slows down the production of senescent cells in your system, so mm-hmm. it's good. And there's a fascinating couple of studies in menopausal age women in their mid-50s, the resveratrol increases blood flow to a woman's brain. And it's in a dose-related phenomena. So the higher the dose, the better it improves your brain's blood flow. Mm. So to stay awake and alert in the daytime when you're doing your things you want to do, resveratrol would be a very nice daytime sort of compound.
For sure. Mm. For sure. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned prescription medication. Thyroid as a prescription medication is very important, and you need to take it first thing in the morning without any food right. or drink.
Yeah, you want to take it at least 30 right. minutes or 20 minutes before you yeah. have a positively charged ion like calcium.
Yeah.
Because calcium, okay. magnesium, they will bond to it and prevent it from being absorbed efficiently.
Okay. And can you take, I typically take my thyroid every morning before uh-huh. everything else. Can you put other things with it, or should you take it totally by itself other than the calcium stuff?
As long as it's not a positive ion, you can probably take it with almost anything. Okay. I don't separate mine out. I don't take it with calcium.
Okay.
And I take it first thing when I wake up in the morning.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't have any special restrictions I use for it. And even
okay,
then,
thank you so much.
If you're taking the consistent amount of calcium and a consistent amount of thyroid, then you just may have to take a higher dose to get the same effect.
Yeah, but then she doesn't know that, right?
Yeah, that's tested on your blood.
I go yeah. every 3 months for blood work and okay. try and stay up on that too. So yeah. I just didn't. Wanted to just check, and I love your guys' show, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Don't go yet.
Yeah, and Beth listens to all 4 hours, too. Thank you, Beth.
You mentioned NMN?
Yeah, NMN.
Yeah, so where did you learn about that one? I'm just curious. Most people don't know about that supplement.
My husband and I we're stem cell people. We have done HGH, and I have worked with another doctor out of Colorado before, and he has talked about NMN. And
good.
My husband is actually a client of yours.
Because that's
a longevity clinic.
It's a great compound for increasing NAD and mitochondrial function. So, yeah, it's just that when you said it, my ears perked up because I think
But the thing with that
people
is
that know about it are
we
rare.
Don't, but absorption is an issue. That's why we don't carry it.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
But nevertheless, if she's absorbing it, it's a good thing. So.
Absolutely it is. And there are supplements out there for sure.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Right.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Bye-bye, Beth.
Good.
All right.
Nice way to start the day.
I think so. Yes. And we have another call. Let's go ahead and take it. Leo is calling in from Federal Way. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Leo.
Hello, Leo.
Well, yes. I hear you talking many times about what you can do to get to be 80 or 90 years old. Well, I'm 102 plus 6 months.
Wow.
I would like to ask you, what did I do right to get me to be this old?
Well, you know, I loved Willie Nelson's prescription, which was, what was it? Let's see, it was... faster horses, older whiskey, and younger women. I think was his formula.
Wait a minute. Did you do any of those, Leo?
I've lived through all that, yes.
Yes, see? So,
okay. Oh, Leo, I love
older whiskey. Okay.
Faster horses, and older whiskey, and younger women.
I think I'm lucky. That's all I can assume.
Okay, sir.
I love that. 102.
Yeah, I think it's a great start.
Yes, it is.
And let's hope that you call me next year this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At 103.
That's right.
0.6 or 0.5. All right.
I'll be there pretty soon. Yes.
All right, sir.
That's great.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye, sir.
He's listening. I'm just so impressed.
I love
it. That's just awesome.
And Leo, you call us any day. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then some very exciting news, Dr. Mixon, that you read in medical news. Some very interesting things and very encouraging.
Yes.
So we want you to tune in for that. In just a moment. That is coming up next in Leading Edge Medicine. And let's give you the phone number. It's 206-421-5757 to get in with your phone calls and your questions for the doctors. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be back with Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
Where's my gold chain?
I know,
gold
Samira.
Skin tight pants.
Yeah, Samira and I are wearing our gold chains.
We are.
And all I've got is a wedding ring.
There you go. And no white polyester pants.
No,
you're behind the times on the way to Portland. Pick up a few chains.
That's okay. Right. Okay. We do enjoy staying alive.
I'm changing my
it's
fedora
perfect.
Or my cowboy, my Stetson. Or my,
what do you have? Oh,
there's driver's cap.
Oh, there you are.
I love
okay.
it. Always showing us the most wonderful driving cap. Oh, that's awesome. We need that's a cute. Picture of you in that.
Okay.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Mixon in the house and with a hat. And Dr. UMAT here, too. We'll be taking your calls in just moments. 206-421-5757 is the number. Right now, Dr. Mixon, you said you had some encouraging news.
Yes.
Medical news. Let's get to that.
Well, the medical news. Now, doggone it. I'm wearing my hat, though.
I know. Well, you can tell us what you have planned for today, too. It's always fun to know where you're going.
Well, no, it's just that, I wear hats.
Yes, you do.
I don't wear ball caps. I wear real hats.
Mm-hmm.
Because 20 years ago, when my wife, Bending, first came to be with me, she bought me a fedora for my birthday.
Oh.
And I learned to love fedora. I probably own 15 of them now. They're great because the brim goes all the way around. They're quite stylish.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps the sun out of your face. It shades the back of your neck. I've never figured out these kids with a ball cap because they can't seem to understand the bill of the cap is to shade your eyes, to keep the sun out of your eyes. It's not to shade the back of your neck.
You probably
have
hair on anyway.
What the hell do they think this thing is for?
Oh, boy.
So I've been wearing fedoras for 20 years, and I wear them summer and winter.
Changing times.
Yes,
that's right. Well, but, they're kind of a classic hat. And
yes,
I have my gun club Stetson, of course, that I wear when I go to Texas.
That.
I like that one.
Yeah. And then you have your boots that go with it.
I have my boots that I wear with it, of course. But today I'm taking the train, and I'm wearing my British driver's cap that I actually bought in Norway.
Ooh, wait a minute.
British cab that he bought in
Norway.
I would wearing in the United States.
It's Norwegian wool.
Nice. I hope you got one of those Viking
horns
with one of those as well.
No, the only Viking part I have is in my genome.
Okay.
Which, I was at a fencing meet a while back with my daughter, and these bunch of mothers were standing around comparing ethnicities because you'd be shocked. You wouldn't think that fencing would be an Asian sport. But probably 80% of the kids at these fencing meets are Asians.
Wow. Okay.
And I finally found out why, of course. My wife explained it, that Asian moms want their kids to go to an Ivy League school.
Oh, I see.
Ivy League schools are always looking for fencing teams.
Okay.
Okay. State schools don't do fencing. Ivy League schools do fencing. And so all these Asian kids, their moms have got them into fencing in hopes that it'll help them get into an Ivy League school. So anyway,
I see. Okay.
So we're standing around and this one mom was saying, I'm Japanese. The other one said, I'm Korean. The third one said, well, I'm Japanese too. My wife said, well, I'm Chinese. And I, of course, had to say, well, I'm Viking. So anyway.
Yeah. I'm glad you're having fun over there, Jerry. It's nice to be able to, you know, watch the kids these days.
That's right. Yeah. Anywho, the medical update that I had for today, I found very, very encouraging. And it is a story about Richard Scholier, I guess, S-C-O-L-Y-E-R, Scholier. Richard Scholier. He is a pathologist, and he's a doctor that actually he and his partner, Dr. Long, Georgina Long, they were the team that actually developed the research to fight malignant melanoma using immunotherapies, where they were able to find ways to trigger the immune system to attack advanced malignant melanoma that used to have a 75 or plus fatality rate, and now is well controlled. Mm. But this great research doc was on vacation and he had a seizure. Mm. And knowing that when a man over 50 has a seizure, it's a brain cancer until proven otherwise, he trotted right in, got his MRI, and indeed had a tumor on his brain. And when it was biopsied, found that it was the most aggressive form
glioblastoma.
Yeah, glioblastoma.
Mm. Wow.
And had a fatality rate of virtually 100% in less than a year. Mm. So glioblastoma is a terrible disease to start with, but this is the worst of the glioblastomas. Well, he and his associate, Dr. Long, decided they did not want to just go into that good night peacefully. Mm-hmm. He said, why don't we use the research that we developed for malignant melanoma against glioblastoma? It's a different cancer. It's out of our field, but what the heck? I'm going to die in less than a year. I don't want to die. So they actually went to work to try to do in a matter of months what would typically take 10 years going through the regular way. They ignored all the federal regulations. They ignored all the protocols.
Wow.
And they simply said, we're not treating patients, we're treating me.
Okay, because he's a doctor. He could do that,
he's
right?
He's the doctor.
Okay.
And he is also the patient. So they just said, we're going to just cut to the chase and try to do this. They went to work. They got a piece of his tumor. They ran its genetic profile so they know exactly what his genome is. They developed a vaccine to attack that particular genetic tumor and injected him with the vaccine. And over the next several months, they did a series of MRIs and they watched the tumor shrivel up and eventually disappear. Mm. He's now more than a year out on his diagnosis. Not only has he survived thus far, he has no symptoms and no detectable tumor.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
This story resonated with me because I lost a son to a glioblastoma when he was 40 and left a wife and three children behind. I have a colleague and friend who just lost his wife of 40 years to a glioblastoma and is, you know, currently in a grieving process. So when I saw this story, I said, wow, this is incredible. It shows, though, what dedicated top-class, world-class researchers can do when they simply free themselves of all the constraints. Mm-hmm. They say, no, you know, we aren't going to pay attention to all of the stuff that they tell us we're supposed to do and not do. We're just going to solve the problem. And they basically gave the middle finger to the entire profession and all the regulatory agencies and did it.
Wow.
Now, They are not claiming as yet that they have, quote, a cure. They know that a year out, he has no symptoms and no discernible disease.
Right.
The disease may reoccur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There may be some cells in there that didn't die. There may be some cells that are immune to the vaccine and will start growing with a vaccine-resistant tumor. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's too early to tell. And this is not a clinical trial. It's a trial with a number of one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one person. He may be the only person on earth that responds mm-hmm. to this. But that would be pretty unlikely. But what they're now saying is, okay, we've done it for this man's tumor. We know it works at least for this to at least get remission of the disease, maybe a cure. Now let's go through the steps to spread this out mm-hmm. to treat glioblastomas worldwide.
Wow.
Obviously, this is going to take more formalized studies. They're going to have to recruit people. They have to go through all the committees. They'll have to get all the government approvals. So now we are going down from a crash course where his life was on the line and we only had months to do it to a multi-year, more conventional approach to it. Still.
Encouraging.
Encouraging.
Wow. Yeah, in the cancer realm where there's more doom and gloom than good news, this is great news.
This is great news, yeah. And, you know, it meant a lot to me because of losing my son and losing my friend's wife.
Yes.
And it just tickles my fancy of what you can do
when
you just ignore all the powers that be and go out and do what needs to be done.
Yes. What a concept.
Yeah, it used to be the American way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, oh, no, we have to have this committee and that committee and this government approval and this funding people. Yuck.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is some good news.
I spent much of my adult life ignoring as much of the powers that be as I can get away with. Sometimes I didn't
and
get
still,
away with it.
Yeah. Wow.
But oh well.
But you know, with cancer, there's such a stigma about it. Mm-hmm. It's just the saying the word causes fear. And yet we know that many people in the United States will get cancer. And with advancing age, the likelihood of cancer does increase. And there's very little we can do to detect it early. There's no screenings. And so like this guy presented with the first seizure, you know, that was the presentation of the tumor that was going to kill him in 12 months.
Or less.
Wow. Yeah. Or less. Yeah. And so many times we hear those stories. And then at other times we find out when it's already spread to other organs. And then the risk, the ability to save them is much less.
Right.
But if you can pick up a screening test or do a screening test that can pick up a cancer before it has spread, then in those cases we can actually do a lot more.
And that brings us to our
gallery test
that we're doing next week in all three clinics.
Yes.
And you know, there are more than 100 different cancers.
Wow.
And we only have screening tests until now. We've only had screening tests for 5 of the 100. Mm-hmm. 95 of the most fatal cancers in America, we did not have a test for. We've now got a test that'll screen for 50 of them.
Wow.
That's only half. But would I rather test for 5 mm-hmm. or I'd rather test for 50?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'll test for the 50.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And yes, we know a lot of you are hesitant to go to get the test because you're afraid of what it might tell you.
Yeah.
You don't want to know. But if you don't know, it will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, we can help to cure you.
Yeah.
Okay? We need to know. The trick is first diagnosis. Then we can do therapy. If we don't make a diagnosis, we can't do therapy. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get a diagnosis until the tumor is widespread, it's frequently too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So come in next Saturday at any of our three clinics, get your gallery test. We will screen you for 50 different cancers. Yes, it is $1,250.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you get a lot for that.
Yes.
So
what does that break down to?
$25 per cancer.
For cancer. Wow.
$25 per cancer.
Wow.
And we're throwing in a whole lot of other discounted stuff for
That's right, just for fun. The health analysis visit is $595, but with that, you will get a $300 DNA age test. So our labs are only going to be $295. So that, and then we'll give you a bag of relief factor for coming in. So, and then you'll have 1.5 hours of doctor time to review all these test results. So a lot of things that you can get out of this visit, find out what's going on inside your body in real time.
And find out how well you are or are not aging.
Yeah.
We'll actually do a test on your DNA to tell you how well you are aging.
Very good. And it's all happening at all three of our longevity clinics next Saturday, February the 10th. And all you have to do is schedule.
Yes.
You can't just pop in. You do need to schedule this. And here is that number. It's 866-86-YOUNG. Just say, hey, I want to sign up for the gallery test. 866-86-YOUNG. We're going to be right back with Joe and your phone calls in just a moment. Stay right there. All right. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in the studio. My name is Lynette, and we're taking your calls. You got a question about your health, a diagnosis recently you don't quite understand, maybe some symptoms or something you or a loved one going through. Please give us a call right now. We'd love to talk with you. Phone lines are open, 206-421-5757. We are going to head to Kent right now. Amelia has a question for us. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Amelia.
And Amelia, let's have you turn your radio down, okay?
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Wonderful. Good to hear you.
How can we help?
Well, I'm 91, and I've been having night sweats for a number of years, and now it's even sweating all the time during the day. I only weigh 120, and I do have severe scoliosis and have lost 6 inches of trunk height, so I live in a lot of pain. But do you know anything that can help stop the night sweats and the sweating?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to find out why you're having night sweats.
Right.
You know, it can be a hormonal dysfunction. You know, you could be having not enough estrogens. You could have thyroid dysfunction. Either too much thyroid usually would be causing the night sweats. What else is there, Samira, that...
You know, Jerry, maybe,
but
she said that she's had it for a very long time.
Yep.
So it can't be something like an acute infection or something. So it's something chronic, and hormonal is at the top of the line for me as well. Metabolic disorders, diabetes, hypoglycemia. If she's dropping her sugar, she says she only weighs 120 pounds. So if she's doing dropping her sugars too low, getting too, you know.
Is this sweaty all night, or does it just come in one big wave at 3 a.m. or something?
And then
all night. And
medications.
It's horrible to go to bed because you know what's in front of you. And I'm lucky to get 2 hours of sleep at night.
Okay.
And medications is the last thing that I'm thinking of. Some
what
drug.
Medicines?
Yeah. What medications are you on?
I'm on hydrochlorothiazide, and I take Vesicare. And my GP gave me trazodone to take right before I go to bed. And it does help you start to sleep, but it doesn't help the sweating.
How long have you had the sweating?
Well, I was talking to one of my caretakers, and she said 2016 was when I started. But then it was only night sweats.
So it's been 8 years.
Wow. Something's been going on for
and
8 years.
I've had everything checked. I had parathyroid tumors. I had those removed. but I've never had thyroid or diabetes or any of that.
Okay. When were did you have your last workup by a physician?
Well, they've been doing blood tests on me in the last, since September, a bunch of them, seeing if they can find anything. And okay. I haven't had any problems that showed up with the blood test, I mean.
Well, that means that the worst things, like, you know, cancer or something like that, they've ruled out.
One would hope.
Yeah. That's odd. You know, one other thing, because I studied in medical school in India, that caused night sweats and chronic was tuberculosis.
Yeah. Pretty rare in a 90-some-year-old in the United States, but possible, yeah. I guess.
Possible.
But you'd think if she'd had sweats from TB for 8 years, she
Somebody
wouldn't be
would
with us
have
anymore.
Found. Yeah. Well, and some chest x-ray would have found some lesion.
Yeah. So not likely. Boy.
Well, they've done all that.
Yep. Okay. How warm is your room? And how many blankets do you sleep under?
I keep it at 73 because I tried to go higher and I didn't like it.
No, I was actually thinking of taking it lower. You might try, 68 or 70 and see what goes on.
Well,
I found it
cold when you're old.
Yes, but that's why you have to kind of find what's the right temperature. You want to be warm enough, but not so feeling so hot that you're sweaty. So, I don't know. I keep my bedroom down around 67 or 68, and I only sleep under a sheet. Because if I put a blanket or a comforter or something on, I sweat all night. But I sleep well when I'm cool. My wife, on the other hand, has this big
sheet.
Okay. Yeah. My wife, on the other hand, wraps herself up like a mummy to stay warm.
With a weighted blanket.
So. Well, I mean, Amelia's also just small. She's 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My 195 pounds generates a lot more heat than hers does.
Yeah.
I don't know, Amelia. Nothing comes to mind except for the things we've mentioned, and it sounds like doctors have already ruled all those out.
Right.
I guess you're just going to have to be the first person today that has totally stumped the doctors.
Amelia, is this getting worse or is it about the same?
Oh, they're worse. It's very difficult. If I could say something, my parents lived to 100, and our family lives too long, I keep saying. But I stayed with my mother when Dad was in the hospital at the last, and I was with Mother, and I had to sleep on a cot with just a sheet because it was 92 and she was still cold. Mm. So maybe age has something to do with it.
Maybe. But I'm not sure what's going on with your temperature regulatory system at this point.
Right.
This is kind of a long shot, but I would consider discussing it with a neurologist. We have rather complex neurologic temperature regulatory systems that are supposed to keep our body temperature in a very narrow range most of the time. And I don't remember enough neurology to tell you exactly how that could go awry. But I'd certainly be interested in getting the opinion of a neurologist to see if he can think of what might be doing it to you.
I know a neurologist that I've seen a number of times, and I haven't mentioned the sweating to him. It's been a while since I saw him.
Yeah, but you might mention that one to him because we've discussed all the more common things that are involved, and it doesn't sound like you have any of them. So I think now we might be looking at a central nervous system disruption of something that may just be due to your age. But it's not a syndrome I'm familiar with. So
thank you.
All right, ma'am.
Oh, thank you, Amelia.
Bye-bye.
Yes. We are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and the phone lines are open for you. Here is the number to call to get through with your questions for the doctors. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We're back with Joe in just a moment. Stay right there.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
All right.
Sherry,
and
are
Willie
you waiting
Nelson
to get on the road again?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to get on the train. But yeah.
Yeah, and he's still going. 90 years old, Willie Nelson. So there you go.
That's great. Well, talking about 80 and 90-year-olds, uh-huh. I just pulled up a study for Amelia, if she's still listening. And this was published in 2013 on PubMed about hot flashes still occurring in a population of 85. We know that women 20 years postmenopause can experience hot flashes, mm-hmm. but the question they asked was, can women older than that age group, so 80 plus and 85 year olds, experience hot flashes? And the answer is clearly yes.
Yes.
So
hot flashes versus night sweats.
No, okay. So this was and they were saying it's not that common, but it does happen, and there are many women that will experience night sweats 85 and older. Mm, and so good. Amelia has had these symptoms for a while, yep. and so she falls into that category, and they haven't found anything sinister, but then they haven't even treated her for the hormone replacement.
Yeah.
So
the question, of course, is if her more conventional physicians are willing to give a 90-year-old estrogen and testosterone.
Yeah. Where did she call us from?
Amelia called us from Kent.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
but, you know, she's got a lot of doctors looking at her.
Yeah.
It would do no harm and might well fix her problem.
Might.
I'd get her a little estradiol and testosterone and see if that would do it.
Mm-hmm. I think worth a try.
Be worth a try.
She's suffering so much. She's been suffering for a long time. Oh. It might help. And we know that even in postmenopausal women, testosterone alone can alleviate symptoms of hot flashes and night sweats.
Yep. But I prefer to use them both in conjunction.
Sure. It'll help with other things.
Yeah. And, you're looking at an investment of under $100.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
It'd be worth it to find out if that fixed it or not.
Yeah. We're rooting for you, Amelia.
Yeah. Good luck, Amelia.
Yes. We're going to head to Sumner now. Joe on the line. Welcome, Joe, to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning,
Jean. How can we help? Yeah, good morning.
My question is, I'll give you a reference, right? I'm 66 years old. I do believe I have what are considered symptoms of gastropause. And I want to know how that affects the absorption of B12 when taken orally. I've had tests done, and it appears the tests show that I've got good absorption. But I'm also concerned that those tests may not take into consideration the intermittent gastropause that I am experiencing. And I'm wondering if sub-Q B12 is a better way to go to ensure constant absorption.
Well, have you measured your levels?
Yes, I have.
And?
What are your levels?
They're well into the sufficient range. I can't tell you what the range is right now, but it's above the... It's above the mean, but I don't remember if when I took those levels, if I was experiencing, the constant heartburn for weeks at end, weeks on end. It's episodic, or not, right?
Now,
and it is methylcobalamin. It is methylcobalamin. It's not cyanocobalamin.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, when you say gastropause, are you talking about gastroparesis? The stomach is simply not emptying or?
Or is it the hydrochloric acid that's depleted?
Yeah.
I'm talking about that there's probably, I haven't had this tested, there's probably not enough acid, so it takes too long for the stomach to empty, and the sphincter at the top of my stomach doesn't close sufficiently because it doesn't see enough acid in there. So, I end up with gastric reflux and, stuff like that occasionally.
Sure. And so have you tried supplementing with hydrochloric acid capsules or tablets?
No. No, I haven't, because I haven't had the levels tested, and I don't want to start mucking around with that until I test those levels.
All right. Well, and now that makes sense.
And I said it's episodic as well, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't have enough acid, though, you're not going to absorb any of the positively charged ions very efficiently. So iron, B12, calcium, magnesium, all of these depend on an acidic environment to be properly absorbed. And so, you know, I'd say first, obviously, you want to look at your blood levels and make sure that everything is being absorbed. But B, a visit to the gastroenterologist to do some acidity studies sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know,
if I take a micronutrient test and those levels are all well into the sufficient range, then I'm okay?
Well, probably.
Well, at this point in time, you're okay.
Yeah.
But
you know,
right.
if you're running really low acid levels,
yeah.
I mean, if you're suspecting that, why not test and find out if your suspicions are correct or not? You know, if you don't test, you don't know. And
that's true.
I'd think I'd want to know.
And then the question is, you know, why are your acid levels low?
Yeah.
And then what can you do about it?
Yeah.
Well, because I'm old.
Well, you don't sound old, but
no.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You sound younger than me. Of course, I'm just a kid of 76 myself, so
that's
I understand
right.
that. All right.
Well, I was only 10 years behind you in school, Doc. So.
All right. Okay. No, I think a gastroenterology consult just to check what your acid levels are. It's not the most pleasant test, but it's not that bad. They just drop a pH meter down into your stomach. You just have to swallow it, and they'll pull it back up. You don't have to eat it forever. So it's fast, it's easy. And yes, we can always do the nutritional studies and
Absolutely.
See
yeah.
what your absorption of, 30 some different vitamins and minerals are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Make sure that everything is sufficient. That's, very easy. Just a blood test and a little cash.
Mm.
So step one.
Okay.
Let's not guess.
May
Let's
I
find out.
Another,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. May I ask another question?
Sure.
Yes.
I know you keep track of all this stuff. What does your clinic think of what is maybe the pending activity from the World Health Organization to basically kill all supplements?
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot of encouragement there from our FDA, too, of course.
Yes.
I have no respect for the World Health Organization. They're a political body. Their leader is a politician, not a doctor. These are the people that told us that COVID could never become an epidemic because you had to be exposed to a wet market with bats in order to catch it. Then they told us that masks didn't work. Then they told us we all had to have masks. Then they told us we had to have 3 masks. And then they told us they don't work again. What can I tell you? And of course, our FDA wants to control everything that goes into your mouth. They have been lobbying Congress for years to give them control of vitamins and supplements, and they want vitamins and supplements to meet the same scientific rigor for sale that the prescription drugs do, and they want to have the FDA approve who can take them and what they can take it for. If your goal is to drive vitamin C up to $100 a dose, that's just fine. But if your goal is to leave free people willing to live a free life, my opinion is to tell the FDA to take a hike. I've never figured out really where they get the authority to regulate your local pharmacy. Let me get across to that here in just a minute. We got to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what my concern is there.
All right. Thank you for the call, Joe. And our phone line's open for you as well. One more hour to go for Leading Edge Medicine. Here is the number to call with your questions. 206-421-5757. We are live in the studio today with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And the phone lines are ready for you. We'd love to talk with you today. Again, that's 206-421-5757. Taking a quick break here and back with more in just a moment. Stay right there.